Chapter number 6. We'll be teaching or preaching from chapter 7 beginning next week, the Lord willing. We've been now for several weeks. In fact, this is message number 18 on the Sermon on the Mount, and we've covered in these 18 messages chapters 5 and 6. Chapter 7 will not take that long. It won't take quite that many messages, but we probably will have a total of 22 to 24 messages from the Sermon on the Mount. Now, I want us this evening once again to read verses 19 through 34. I realize we've read those same verses three evenings, the Sunday evening before last Sunday evening, and this evening, but there's a reason for it, and I want us to be sure that we get this in its context. Verse number 19, Matthew chapter 6. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all of his glory, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I want us to read two verses this evening for our text, the companion text, verses number 25 and 33. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat? That means, is not your life more than just food? And the body more than raiment, or more than clothing? Now look, if you will, at verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, the reason that I've read verses 19 through 34 each of these nights, as I've spoken upon this series of subjects, is that it is a single area of teaching. Now, you understand that Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7 all make up what is called the Sermon on the Mount. The Lord sat down and he spoke all three of these chapters at one time, one setting, wasn't a long message, and I've spent a lot of time trying to expound them. But as we come to this particular passage dealing with the, our finances or our possessions in this world, it is a single area of teaching within the Sermon on the Mount. Now, the two previous messages were entitled this way, Your Heart and Your Treasure. Where your treasure is, there shall your heart be also. Remember, he said, lay not up treasure for yourself upon the earth. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And the second is your service and your earthly treasure. No man can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. That was last week's message. Now, you understand that those two messages and the messages that are the message I'm bringing tonight are not three separate messages, but they are complementary and relevant messages. In other words, what I'm saying tonight will agree with what was being said last Sunday night and the Sunday night before. All of it comes together. In this message, I want to deal with this subject. This is the title of the message, Your Faith and Your Earthly Needs. And notice I said needs, not necessarily wants, but your faith and your earthly needs. And as we consider that subject, I want to say to you that you can hear the best financial advice available anywhere, for these are the Lord's words, the text that I've read to you tonight. They're the best financial advice you can get anywhere. I mean, E.F. Hutton doesn't have any, I mean, he doesn't even stand in this category at all. Nobody else does. These are the Lord's words. What he said this evening in those texts is absolutely accurate. Not only does he know about all of the economic circumstances of the world, now listen to me, but he controls all of the economic circumstances of the world. And so his advice in that area is the only really good advice. Now, there are five things that I want to talk to you about tonight that have to do with this category of thought. And so, obviously, I can't take a great length on any of them. The first thing I want to call to your attention is this, that these texts are not a direction against due concern or preparation. Let me say that again. These texts do not forbid, he does not direct against, proper concern and preparation. Now, Satan would love to have you think that the Lord is saying something here that is illogical or foolish. He would always like to have you to think that something in God's Word is senseless and that it is below our realm or our ability of thinking. It is never the case. Nothing in God's Word is sublogical. It may be above our logic, it will never be below logic. And Satan will try to fool us in that direction. The Lord is not speaking against due concern. Satan would like to have you think that the Lord is commending slothfulness here. In other words, Satan would like to cause, and does indeed cause some people to think, that the Lord is saying, to just sit out over there and be a lazy, good-for-nothing, do nothing, depend on everybody else, and starve unless somebody comes and dumps it in your lap. And I want to say to you that the Lord is not in any sense at all recommending such conduct as that. Christ made and taught, or let's say he had and taught proper concern, and he made and taught that we should make proper preparation for the proper needs and functions of the world. In other words, the idea that the Lord is just saying, well, sit down and pray and let it come to you, don't do anything, is totally wrong. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 26, verses 17 through 19, we find the Lord making preparation for something. It is for the Passover. Now, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? Now, he could have said, well, don't worry about that. Just let it take care of itself, and we'll find some place where we can eat the Passover. Oh, and the disciple, notice he goes on and he gives them direction. And in the 19th verse, the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. In other words, he said, you go into the city, into this particular street, there you're going to find a man's house. You go and say that the Lord wants to use this room, and he's going to take you to an upper room, and there you prepare the Passover. And so they went, and there they prepared the Passover. Not only that, we find the Lord making preparation for the cross. I mean, he spent an evening after the Passover was completed making preparation for the cross. Matthew 26, verses 36 through 39. Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go yonder and pray. Does this look like lack of concern? Lack of preparation? doing what comes naturally, letting things just happen without... No, it doesn't. Go on and notice. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. We find in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 27, the Lord making preparation to pay tribute money. Notice verse 27, Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, and cast an hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take, and give unto them for me and thee. You see, a deliberate, maybe a strange to us, and yet a deliberate, designed preparation. Look in the Gospel of John, chapter 6 and verse 12. He has just fed probably in the neighborhood of 20,000 people, 5,000 men plus women and children. We can only conjecture how many women and children there might have been, but the estimates run 15 to 20,000 people, 5,000 men besides women and children, the Bible says. And notice what he says, after they had finished eating, he fed all these people, and in the Gospel of John, chapter 6 and verse 12, when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Well, why worry about that? I mean, let the birds have that. You know, and we'll take care of it. We'll think about tomorrow when it comes. What are you going to do with 12 baskets full of food? Well, we're going to eat it. You know, we're going to have to eat tomorrow. Proper preparation. And that's a Bible pattern. Let me show you. God's Word tells us we are to prepare for our food by labor. Now, let me say that again. God's Word teaches us that we are to prepare for our food by labor. In the very beginning, Matthew 3:19, After Adam had fallen, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return to the ground, for out of it thou wast taken, from dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. And we will not expound that at length and be exhaustive as far as all of the complementary scriptures, but searching that out would say not just that Adam is going to sit down and get sweaty while he's eating, but that he's going to earn his bread by the sweat of his brow, and that is what he's supposed to do. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 4 and verse 28, Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Preparation? You bet. Let him labor, working with his hands, that he may have to give, that he may have. Labor, working, that he may have. The Bible teaches proper preparation. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3 and verse number 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Did you hear me? Somebody says today, well, God teaches us that mercy involves just taking care of anybody that's too lazy to work. No, it doesn't. No, it does not. It does not. Listen, beloved, the most merciful thing that you can do for any able-bodied person that will not work is to let them starve until they will work. I'm not being mean. I'm saying you want to help them. You want to do something good for them. You want to help them get up off their back. You want to help them grow. Let them go hungry until they will work. You say, Preacher, have you ever been hungry? You bet I've been hungry. And I know how to work. And I'm not ashamed to work. I like to work, in fact. I don't care anything about laziness. It's an ungodly thing, and the Bible teaches against it. If they do not work, they should eat. Go ahead and let me point out to you that the Scripture teaches diligence. Scripture teaches us we are to be diligent, and it demands it in these areas as well as others. 1 Timothy chapter number 5 and verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Does that mean that the Lord is teaching just go over there and sit down and suck your thumb and let it come in? If it doesn't, and if it doesn't, you know, say God said he would and he didn't. No, that's not what it's saying at all. The Lord is not teaching it. The Bible never taught any such foolishness as that. He is not giving direction against proper concern or preparation. secondly, let me point out that from the positive side, it is a direction as to right priorities. Do you hear what I'm saying? The direction here is to right priorities. Now, back to our secondary text in the 33rd verse of the 6th chapter. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let me call to your attention that this verse does not say, seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, what does it mean when it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God? Well, it means that there are obviously some other things that are a proper interest in our lives, but this is to be the first interest. That's what the word first means. That's why it's used there. In other words, he's not saying to you that you're to live and you're not supposed to be interested in anything except spiritual things. Just seek the kingdom of God and let your family go hungry. And if God doesn't send something to feed them, you know, if the little birds don't bring them bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, then that's God's fault. But you're not supposed to work. You're supposed to seek the kingdom of God. The Bible does not teach that. Indeed, it teaches quite the opposite. But it gives us a right priority. The first interest is to be the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God. What does that mean? Well, it means that you give it a priority, that you do not allow your life to be ordered or arranged in such a fashion that something else that you're doing takes away from that. You follow what I'm talking about? Working in a beer joint, quit your job. You're seeking first the kingdom of God, and you're doing that. You're peddling hooch, knock it off. Quit that baloney. Get out of that slop and do something that will not take away from the glory of God. Make everything that you do subject to the kingdom of God. Seek you first. Make it a proper priority. It does not imply that no earthly interest or profit is to be sought. The Bible, in fact, teaches quite the opposite. The Bible teaches that a good and faithful servant is one who gets gain by trading. Remember what the parable of the talents taught? And the servant came and said, Lord, here's the 5 talents that you've given me, and here are 5 other talents that I've gotten by trading. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Next servant comes and says, here are the talents you gave me, and here are 5 others that I've gotten, or 10 others that I've gotten by trading. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. The third comes and says, here's that you gave me, and I hid it in the earth. And he says, thou wicked and slothful servant, you should have put my money to the changers, so that when I came I might have mine own with usury. There should have been increase. God teaches the principle in our lives that we are to be good stewards, that we are to be concerned with those things, but we are to give a priority to the seeking of the kingdom of God, put it in its proper place. There are some earthly responsibilities, and the Scripture forbids the neglect of them. Scripture does not allow you to lie in bed or to lay in bed on Monday morning, does not allow you to do that, and let your job go down the drain and let your family go hungry. It says you denied the faith and you're worse than an infidel. You get up. And you get out to work. You get there on time. Get there ahead of time. Always get to work a little bit ahead of time. I'm serious about that. I'm serious about that. When I was in business, if there's anything that just griped me to death, was for a man to come in every morning 2 minutes late. It wouldn't be long before I'd just fire him. I didn't want him around. I don't like that kind of a spirit. I detest that junk. I mean, just come dragging and you just spare it, boy. Oh, got to come to work again. You tell he's so enthused about his job. Listen, beloved, we need to learn to be punctual people. We need to learn to be people who are on the ball, who do what we're supposed to do in this world. They are earthly responsibilities, and the Scripture forbids that we neglect them. It demands that we take care of them, that we exercise them. Whether we are a servant or whatever our position is, that we are diligent in those areas and we do those things as unto the Lord. The Scripture forbids that we neglect those things. But the proper order is always, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And this proper order is the spring of blessing and prosperity to us. Proverbs chapter number 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine. It's just another way, as far as our giving is concerned, to say what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Well, if there's anything left after I buy groceries, no. No, 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 no. The first is God's. It's not mine. It's not yours. It's not the grocer's. You say, but I got to feed my family, because if I don't provide for my own, I've denied the faith and I'm worse than an infidel. Listen, if you've got as much sense as a turnip, you ought to know by now that the way to provide your own for your own is not to steal from God. You see what I'm saying to you? I mean, if you want to provide for your own, honor God and have God's blessing upon what you're doing and upon your finances, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And we are directed in this area of proper priorities. Thirdly, the text commands us to trust God. Again, I want to call your attention back to Matthew chapter 6 and to verse 25. And we're going to read again verses 25 through 30. Oh, quite a large portion, but I want you to look at it carefully. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? In other words, he says, is not your life composed of more than the food that you eat? Wear your head off about what you're going to feed yourself and your family. You can still die of a bursted blood vessel in your head. See what I'm talking about? Your life is more than just food. And your body, more than raiment. I mean, boy, just be careful. I mean, what am I going to wear? Don't have a blessed thing to wear. One of my shoes has got a hole in it. Well, complain a lot. Maybe one of your feet will fall off and you won't have to worry about that shoe. Your body is more than raiment. You see what I'm talking about? He says, get the order right. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, yet, nor gather in the barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall not he much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Now, where he says, take no thought, he is not telling us there in that passage not to have a proper concern, but not to be overly anxious, not to be wringing our hands and saying, what are we going to do? How are we going to pay our bills? How are we going to take care of this? He says, no, don't do that. Well, what do? You seek first the kingdom of God. You carry out your responsibilities in the secular world in a godly fashion, and you trust God. Now, listen to me. I want to say it again. The text commands us to trust God. He reminds us that the body is more than just the clothing that we put on it. But you said, you want to worry about what to wear? He said, you better worry about what to put it on. You better worry about something to wear it with. And he said, boy, what are we going to eat tomorrow? How do you know you're going to need anything to eat tomorrow? Huh? You may get all your teeth knocked out before then. Soup may be good enough. I mean, the body is more than food. And he says, you have all of these worries about the little... In other words, what he's saying is this, and I illustrate it this way. How much of our worry is spent on less than life and less than the body, as if money would fulfill our needs? You see what I'm talking about? I've often said that many men spend their health to get wealth and spend their wealth to get back their health and die with neither one. An improper order of priorities, running ourselves to death. There are many men who are so consumed with making a living that they don't have any time to live. They're strangers to their families. There are so many women that are so worried about how their finances are going to come out that they can never enjoy anything they have. Isn't that awful? But it happens. Lives are filled with that. And the Lord said, no, that's not the way to live. That's not the way to do it. Now listen, he clearly states this, that you have needs. Your heavenly Father knoweth you have need of these things. He's not denying those needs. He's facing them head on in a proper and an objective way. Yes, you do have needs. You need food. You need clothing. I need food. I need clothing. But the point is this: God knows what you need. God is not oblivious to our needs. He knows what you need. And so we need to face it and look at it from that direction. We have needs, and God knows exactly what they are. Secondly, he clearly states that God is concerned about your needs. Did you hear me? God is concerned about your needs. Notice how he displays, or he demonstrates, God's providence, or how God has displayed his providence, we might say, by the animals and the plants. He said, there are the sparrows out there, God's taking care of them. There are the lilies, God's taking care of them. And they don't even work, they don't toil, and they don't spin. And if God takes care of them, when you have arranged your life with a proper order of priority, and you're doing what God has ordained that you do, should not you expect that God would take care of your needs? Are not you more important? Are not you better than many sparrows? See, the demonstration, or the illustration, I should say, that the Lord is giving us there. He says, you're more important than any of these things, and God's going to take care of you. You see, the great illustration of this is in Luke chapter number 12, verses 6 and 7. And just listen to them. Are not five sparrows sold for two farthings? In other words, here are five sparrows and sold for almost nothing. And I don't even know what they did with them. They might have had sparrow soup back in that day and time. I guess that ought to be about as inviting as clam chowder, hadn't it? I mean, really, if you can eat clam chowder, you ought to be able to eat sparrow soup, shouldn't you? Snail pudding? Well, I don't know. That's going a little bit too far. But anyhow, are not five sparrows sold for two farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Now, that doesn't mean God doesn't let any sparrows die. You know, every once in a while, one of them gets hit by a car. Once in a while, one freezes to death. And he starves to death. But God said, the Bible says, not one of those sparrows. You think God doesn't take care of details? Preacher said to me some time ago, you think God takes care of those all those little details? I said, I sure do. He said, really? I said, absolutely. I said, I believe the very hairs of my head are numbered. He thought that was funny. Watch it, Steve. But the point is this, he says, not one of these sparrows perishes without God taking note. But even the very hairs of your head are numbered, are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. In other words, he says, God knows what you need, and God is concerned with what you need, and God has displayed his ability and his tendency toward providing for those things. And he said, we need to know that. Now then, let me go on to say, these truths concerning the sparrows and the lilies and God knowing your needs are not laid before you initially for comfort. Did you hear me? They are not just put there so you won't have to worry about tomorrow. Certainly he tells us we're not to do that. What I'm saying is this, that as you look at this and put it together, it explains and it supports a, hear me, it explains and it supports a command to trust God daily. While it's true that if we learn to do that, it will comfort our hearts, it is equally true that if we do not do that, we are living in sin. Did you hear me? It's comforting to do it. It's wonderful to do it. But it's sinful not to do it. The Lord is rebuking these people for their lack of faith. It is a sin for us to fail to do it. The last thought, a very brief one. God has committed himself to us in these areas. Now let me preface this point by saying something. I detest the doctrine today that is taught by so many that says, now you have God on the dotted line. In other words, God has said, if you do this, I'll do this. Brother, you get in there and you get on the line and you do it, and then you got God hooked, and God has no choice. He's got to do it. If he doesn't do it, he's a liar, and you're better than God is. That's a bunch of garbage. And it ought not be. That type of thought ought not enter into our minds. But the point is this. God has committed himself. When we have sought first the kingdom of God, God has committed himself to provide for our needs. We don't go out there trying to tell God what to do and dictate to God and say, now look how well I've done it, and now the ball is in your court and you're bound to do it because you said so. But we are to trust God. God will provide the need. Hear the Lord's words to Peter as opposed to the sorrowful rich young ruler. Remember the rich young ruler? Came to the Lord and said, what good thing may I do that I may inherit eternal life? He said, you want to do something? He said, you go and sell all that you have. In other words, he first gave him the commandments. He said, all these have I kept from my youth up. And of course, he hadn't kept them because he didn't love God with all his heart, all his soul, and all his mind. Didn't love his neighbor as himself. And so the Lord said, let me show you something you lack. You go sell all that you have and give to the poor. And you come and follow me. He'd prove two things if he did that. He'd prove that he loved God with all his heart and all his soul and all his might, and that he loved his neighbor as himself. He wouldn't do that. He went away very sorrowful. Went away very, very sad, for he had great riches. What happened? This young man was a slave to his riches. As we said last week, where he could have been a prince riding, he was a slave walking upon the ground. Oh, he owned the riches. No, not really. They owned him. You see what I'm talking about? So he went away sorrowful. Now then, look at the contrast of that in Luke chapter 18, verses 28 through 30. The scripture says, then said Peter, lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come life everlasting. He says, trust me, Peter. You've left all to follow me. What have you done? He sought first the kingdom of God. God's going to take care of you. God's going to take care of you. Well, I don't see it. Well, you see, we walk by faith and not by sight. I don't know where it's coming from. We walk by faith and not by sight. God is going to take care. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now consider our text again. Think of it. Consider or seek ye first. Give it priority. Put it above everything else. Don't say, well, if my job allows, if my time allows, if my recreation allows, if my finances allow, I will do this. No, 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 no. You don't have any promise of God living like that. You don't. But he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, that is, your needs, shall be added to you. Well, how do I know that I'll be satisfied with my needs? He said to Peter, no man that hath left any of these things for the kingdom of God's sake will fail to have more in this present time and in the life to come, or in the world to come, life everlasting. God will take care of you. He will. God will take care of you. And that's what the Lord is saying here in this passage. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and God will take care of you. Listen, folks. We are stealing ourselves blind in so many instances in this life. I mean picking our own pockets and throwing it in the garbage. You hear me? Picking our own pockets and throwing it in the garbage because we will not put God first. You follow what I'm talking about? Many, many men today who will not say, no, I will not allow my job. I will not allow my employer. I will not allow the circumstances around me to dictate my life in such a way that I cannot put the kingdom of God first. I'm just not going to do it. And they think that they're protecting their worldly necessities. You know what they're doing? They're sabotaging their own financial and economic status. That's right. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and these things shall be, no question, these things shall be added unto you. Do you believe God? Do you really believe God about that? If you don't, it's sin. If you do, then put it into practice, and it'll be comfort to your life, and it'll be prosperity to your life. stand with heads bowed, hearts lifted to God.